Today, we're going to wrap up the series, Reboot. And last week, Pastor Jesse did a great job talking about rebooting me. Come on, we've got to show up. We've got to realign our priorities, right? We've got to be ready for this season. The week before, I talked about rebooting the gospel. And the week before that, rebooting mission. I want to continue to talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the proclamation of good news. We learn that it reveals the promised one, Jesus Christ. So the gospel is not only principles, right? Actually, the gospel reveals the promised one, the person, Jesus Christ. And then we learn that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And I believe as we reboot in 2021 as a church, we have to focus, listen, on our vision. What is our vision? When you walk in our lobby again, come on, there's coming a day really soon. By the way, again, we've gotten a lot of questions. We are in the purple tier. We are going to open up as soon as we get in the red tier and no turning back. We believe that's going to happen real soon. And as we reboot in 2021 as a church, we believe we have to focus on our vision, what we are becoming. Listen, we might not be there yet, but listen, we are a church that looks like heaven. We are a church that lives like heaven. And we are a church that leads like heaven. And how do we get there? We get there by fulfilling our mission, engaging in real life, embracing real people, encountering the real God. And what's the fuel behind all? It's our values. We've got to love God personally. Listen, we've got to learn empathy. We've got to live abundantly, lead humbly, and lift humanity. This is what fuels our mission, and our mission will carry us to our vision and what we are becoming. You see, we can come up with all the creative sermon series titles. We can come up with memorable quotes and awesome clips for Monday mornings. But I really believe, listen, as a church, if we are not understanding and living out the good news of the gospel, listen, we have totally missed it. Listen, can I just say this? There is no better solution to the world's issues, to your personal issues, to your family issues, to any issues that would come your way. There is no better solution than the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, the power, this is what the gospel is. It's the power of his death. The power of his burial, the power of his resurrection. It's the most important message that we need to know as believers. It's the message, listen, that when I was 18 years old, that I said, you know what? I'll give my life for that message. Only that message. There was no other message. That was the message. That I said, you know what? Just like Jesus died for me, I'm going to lay my life down for others. And I'm going to preach the good news, just like somebody shared the good news with me. You see, the power of Jesus' finished work, listen, will work and still works and is still working. You see, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We feel like, oh, that's elementary. It's how we enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Believing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is how we enter the kingdom. However, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not entry-level Christianity. Listen to what I'm saying. It's how we enter the kingdom. But listen, it is not entry-level Christianity. If you're reading the same Bible that I'm reading, Martin Luther said this, the great reformer who nailed the 95 theses, listen, on the Catholic Church. And he said, basically, the just shall live by faith. That's what Martin Luther did. He said this. He said, I need to preach the gospel to myself every day. It would seem that that would align with what the Apostle Paul taught us and what he focused on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "For I determined to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, Paul had an incredible resume, y'all. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrews of Hebrews. In regard to the law, he was a Pharisee. In regards to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. As for righteousness, it says, that was based on the law, he was faultless. Yet this is what he said. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss." Talking about the things I just listed to you. For what? For Christ. "Yet indeed I also count all things," Philippians 3:7, "for the excellence," listen to this, "for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." We could just stop right there. Listen, so many things that we think we've got to know, yet we ignore the very only thing that we need to know. "The excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." I count them as trash. Why? "That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And why does he say that? Listen again, Jesus takes us from just rules. Come on, this is the good news. From rules to relationships, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was Paul's focus. That was Paul's goal. You see, knowing the gospel, knowing the good news, is first about knowing Jesus and the work he completed so that you and I are not working for something that God has already finished and provided for us. The gospel reveals the promised one. You see, for you and I to know him and become like him, that's why we call it good news. You see, the good news has to take you and I beyond our belief in a historical event of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, the gospel, the good news, has to lead us into a personal, transformational experience. Come on, as we step into the kingdom. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. We have to go from two-dimensional faith, living life on the surface, to a three-dimensional disciple. Listen, diving deeper into the things of God. And then I talked to you and I left off with the power. The gospel is the power of salvation. Romans 1:16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed." Listen, there is no guilt. There is no condemnation. There is no embarrassment associated with this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's the power of God to salvation. Listen, to salvation. That word power is dunamis in the original language. It is where we get the English word dynamite. How many know God wants to do something explosive in your life in 2021? He wants to do something explosive through the power of the gospel through Real Life Church. And this word is referring to the explosive strength, power, and ability of God. I believe, church, as we reboot in 2021, I really believe God wants to do something powerful in our life and in our church, and he desires to give us an understanding, listen, of all the upgrades Jesus has given us access to through the power of the gospel. It's time for a Holy Ghost reboot in 2021. It's time to download fresh revelation from heaven in 2021. And it's time to walk in an upgraded, powerful gospel in 2021. You see, so many of us are trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. Listen, in our own power, in our own ability. And guess what? We're miserable. We're frustrated. We're unsatisfied. We're fearful. So many of us living our Christian life like we've lost the battle when Jesus won the war. You know, about 7 years ago, I was one of those guys that said, I am never going to convert from PC to Mac. 7 years ago, I said, I will never. 7 years ago, I became a convert. I got my first Apple computer. And I've learned that every year, the last 7 years, every year, Apple comes out with a new operating system that you can download, and it has usually all kinds of neat gadgets. It has a new look and all these different things. So this year, Big Sur 11.0 came out. And there's this moment when you're an Apple user, if you have an iPhone, an iPad, Mac, whatever, there's this decision you've got to make, and it's this. Should I do it? Should I continue on the old system, or should I move to the new system? So guess what? I did it. I love new stuff. So I downloaded Big Sur, got rid of Catalina, got Big Sur, and I've noticed two things over the last month that Big Sur offer. Big Sur, number one, Safari, and you might not know this, Safari, which I don't use. I use Google, but Safari, the search engine, is 50% faster than Google Chrome. I was on it. You guys, it is so blind. It is so fast. It is amazing. You type in it, and it comes up before you even got it entered. No, I'm just kidding. But pretty much so. Big Sur, the second thing it does, listen, this was crazy. It gives me access to apps or applications, listen, that I never knew existed. And these apps are designed to make my life and my work more productive so I can be a more productive person. It's called SetApp. If you download Big Sur, there's this whole thing called SetApp. You have access to, reveals all these different types of apps. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible as believers that we are refusing, come on, to download and upgrade, come on, to the new operating system, that we're operating from an old religious system, listen, that doesn't give us access to everything Jesus has given us, and therefore, instead of being constructive and productive in this season, we're being negative and destructive? You see, old systems were always meant to give way to new systems. The old covenant, come on, was meant to point us to a better covenant. The old system, you guys, the old covenant, the Old Testament, listen, it proved that we would never be good enough. No matter what we did, it proved that we could never do enough. And it proved that we could never be enough. That we get caught up in that today. We get caught up in that mindset today. People will say, Pastor Dean, you're not preaching on this subject enough. Pastor Dean, you're not doing enough, saying enough. Pastor Dean, our church is not praying enough. Pastor Dean, we don't have enough of this, and we don't have enough of that. Oh, my friends, I could never have done enough the last 3.5 years as pastor of this church that would have addressed the problems in this world, let alone the problems we've had to face in this church. But fortunately, Jesus, come on, he did more than enough 2,021 years ago. He said, enough is enough. I'm enough. Hallelujah. And he brought us, listen, from the old to the new. And listen, when the new covenant was enforced, the new covenant was enforced when Jesus died. We've got to understand that. Jesus says you are enough because Jesus did enough. He's more than enough, and he's given you and I access to every app. Come on. To everything that the Holy Spirit has to offer us. He's given us access to everything we've ever needed to live this lifestyle of Christianity out. You guys remember Peter, Simon Peter, knucklehead Simon Peter? This was the dude a few weeks ago. I mean, cut the dude's ear off. Jesus said, come on, man, put the sword down. This is the guy that said, Jesus, I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, you know what? Get behind me, Satan. Right? This is the guy that jumped out of the boat. He was always trying to prove himself to Jesus. He was always trying to prove how much he loved the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we all know the life story of Peter. I don't have time to get into it this morning. But here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we see a man who is trying to prove himself to Jesus. We now find him resting in the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was the best news, the good news that put him at ease. Peter says this, you'll miss it if you're not looking for it. He says this, may God, he said, this is a prayer. He said, may God give you more and more grace. How many know Peter needed some grace? He said, may God give you more and more grace and peace. Listen to this, as you grow in your knowledge of all that's happening in the world. No, that's not what he said. He said, may God give you grace and peace as you read the sacramental beat. No, that's not what he said. He said, may God give you grace and peace as you search Google and try to wrap your mind around. Oh, no, that's not what he said. He said, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. He's the only answer to the issues that we're facing. Listen, if it's not the only answer, we don't got good news. We've got fake news. But it's good news. It's glad tidings. The Holy Spirit longs to give you and I, as believers, the revelation. Listen, that our salvation gives us access to the explosive power of the gospel. Listen, it's what makes our life work. It's what makes my life work. It's what makes a multi-ethnic church work. Listen, there is nothing that will make it work other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul prays this awesome prayer in Ephesians. He says, I pray. This is his prayer. I pray that you'll understand all that's happening in the world today. That's not what he said. Do you hear what I'm saying? He said, I pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Verse 21, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That should be our prayer today. I dare you to pray that prayer right now. God, I pray again that the lights would go out on everything else that is distracting me from the good news. And I pray that you would give me a fresh download and an upgrade of the revelation of who you are. Yeah, I'm preaching this morning. I just real quickly want to talk to you about three upgrades, I believe. Listen, God wants to download into your life in 2021. It's really about what the gospel does in us, through us, and for us. That's what I want to communicate today. What the gospel does in you, through you, come on, and for you. It's good news, not bad news. Listen, when you hear the good news, it shouldn't make you cringe. Come on, it should make you rejoice. Come on, it should make you happy. Come on, it should make you endure because it's good news. It's God's news. Number one, my first point is the gospel communicates the good news of Jesus' finished work. Catch this, in us. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but when we believe in Jesus Christ, this is what happens immediately. We are delivered, we're preserved, and we're protected and saved from sin. From sin. But listen, we can't stop there. We just can't be happy with a ticket to heaven. Listen, what God wants to do in 2021 as a church and as a congregation, we have to move beyond that what we've just been saved from, and we've got to awaken and reboot, listen, to what we've been saved to. Not just from, but what we've been saved to. Or if we're not going to do that, listen, Christianity is just a sin management program. You see, the gospel proclaims to you and I as believers the grace of God that's made manifest in our life and is only found in Christ. You could say that with me. Put it in the chat. Just say, in Christ. So important that we get that. It's only found in Him. It's not found in any other message. So much mixture in the message of the gospel. The pure gospel is only found in Christ. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Man, I'm spitting all over the place. You're lucky you're not here. You probably get COVID, all right. Romans 5, 1 to 2. Damien, just moved back a couple rows. The gospel proclaims to you and I as believers the grace of God. Romans 5, 1. Since we have been justified, that word justified, listen, when you understand the finished work that Jesus does in you, you are justified. This is how I learned it, just as if I'd never sinned. Okay? Therefore, since we've been justified, and this is the Amplified I'm reading, that is acquitted of sin and declared blameless, come on, before God by faith. Another translation says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and He now declares us flawless in His eyes. I love that. And Paul goes on to say, let us grasp the fact, remember, by faith, that we have peace with God and the joy. Come on, have you lost your joy in this season? The joy of reconciliation with Him. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. Through Him, we also, listen to this, have access, what? By how good we do something? No. By what we? No. By faith, we have access into this, listen, remarkable state of grace, which we firmly and safely and securely stand. And listen, some of us, listen, in 2020, we've lost our footing. But we need a revelation, listen, that we are standing safely and securely before His throne. He goes on to say, let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying. Are these good news? This is good news. Words like enjoy and experience the glory of our great God, the manifestation of His excellence and power. You see, some of us, we need to go take Martin Luther's advice, and we need to preach the gospel to ourselves first every day. You say, how do we do that? Listen, we need to declare what He's done in us. Listen, we need to pump up the volume and declare what God has done in me. A declaration of the gospel will release a revelation of the power of what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has done in you. About a year and a half ago, I did 31 days of declaration. I found a book of of I am statements and what Christ had done for me, and it had translated it into a way that I could pray it. And for 31 days, in fact, you can go on my Instagram and in my profile, you can actually click on it, and there's 31 days that you can actually do the same thing that I did. And for 31 days, listen, I just declared the good news over my life. I just declared the good news. God, I thank you that you're my healer. God, I thank you that you're my provider. Lord, I thank you that your grace is enough. Lord, I thank you, God, for the faith, Lord, that you've released in my heart. And it was really just prayers of thanksgiving and declaring the good news, the goodness of God over my life. And guess what happened? The goodness of God started breaking out in my life. I started getting provision that I from God, just by thanking him for it. Things started breaking out. Divine appointments started happening for us here in ministry. All kinds of things started falling in place. Why? I started declaring the goodness of God. What he's already done, I just started renewing my mind to receive all that he's given us. See, sometimes we got this negative self-talk going on, and we talk ourselves out of the promises that he's already said yes to. We don't got to beg for. He's already said yes. And all we have to do is just begin to thank God. And again, when we do, that's when we begin to renew our mind. And we say, yes, Lord. And he begins to renew our mind. And listen, now we say, you know what? The good, I'm not worthy alone in my, but you know what? His gospel makes me worthy. His good news makes me worthy. I just wanted to give you an example of this. I found this, and you can find this as well, but this was originally compiled by Neil T. Anderson, but you could just do this. I'm going to just give you an example of what I did. You could just go in and just say, you know what? I am God's child. I am accepted, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. I am a friend of Christ. I have been justified and declared righteous. I am united with the Lord, and I am one with him. I have been bought with a price, and I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God and adopted as his child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. You say, I am accepted. It keeps going. I am secure, not because of how long I've been a believer. Because some of us think we're more mature because we've been in church so many years. Has nothing to do with it. I am secure not because of how long I've been a believer, but because I believed in his goodness. And because I believe in his goodness, I'm free from condemnation. I'm assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. I'm free from any condemnation. I'm free. Listen, I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I'm hidden with Christ in God. I'm confident, listen, that I am completed in Christ Jesus. I am a citizen of heaven. Come on, I'm born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. And then I am significant. Again, I'm just preaching the good news to myself this morning, y'all. Y'all can do the same thing. I'm significant, not because what I do, but because what Jesus has done. Not because of my Instagram platform or my Twitter platform or how many followers I have on Facebook or how many YouTube views that I got, right? No, I'm significant because what he's done, not what I do. And because of that, I've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I'm God's temple. I'm a minister of reconciliation for God. I'm seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realm. I'm God's workmanship. I don't have to prove anything to anybody because I've already been approved. I'm God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence, and I can do all things through Christ Jesus.